1 Kings chapter 12. Kind of reminds you of that young preacher that was looking for him a wife and walked in church one night and heard this beautiful song. Thought, man, I've got to marry this woman. Went up to her and said, "Will you marry me?" She said, "Yes." We ended up getting married and went home. She got there and took her wig off, took her nails off, took her eyebrows off, took her teeth out, and all he could do is look at her and say, "Same, honey, same." 1 Kings chapter 12. She didn't look good, so girl, please sing. Well, I'm glad my wife didn't get home after I married her and take the wig and the teeth out, and thank God she kept them all on and in. Amen. But I still said, "Same, honey, same." 1 Kings chapter 12. For the preaching and teaching of God's word, I don't know where that came from. Let's go to verse 25. We've been dealing with the issue of worship for over a year now. And let's see if we can look at another aspect of it tonight from the Word of God. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Peniel. Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. This people go up and do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold, said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And he set up the one in Bethel and the other in Dan. This thing became a sin. The people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made in the house of high places and made priests of the lords of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. He placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Let's pray together. Father, I pray, God, that you will take now your word. You'll serve it on the table of the hearts of these thy people. That every single one of us may eat and be filled and strengthened. I do pray, God, that you take me as your vessel. That you'd cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Help us, Lord, to hear from you and then to heed what you say. Bless now the preached word of God. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We've been dealing with the issue of worship. The last couple of weeks we spent time following Jacob back to Bethel. As he went back to Bethel, he went back to the place where his worship with God was as sweet, real, intimate, fresh, exciting as it ever was. And I don't know about you, as we looked at the story of Jacob the last couple weeks, don't you just want to live in that Bethel atmosphere? Don't you just want to live in that place where you and God are fresh, where there's an intimacy with you and God? Don't you want to live in the place where he's the great El Shaddai? He's the all-sufficient God. He's not only everything that you need, but he becomes all that you want. Amen. Don't you love the Bethel experience where God reminds you that in spite of your mess ups, He still wants to use you. He still has a plan for you. He still has a purpose for you. He still has aims and designs and directions and objectives for your life. What a comforting situation it was for Jacob to get back to Bethel and to realize, although he moved far away from God and procrastinated getting where he should be with God, that if he would head back to Bethel, not only would God get him to Bethel, but God would meet him there. Amen. Aren't you glad for the grace and the mercy and the patience of Almighty God? But as we travel here to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in chapter 11, as we close the chapter, Solomon sleeps. That means he died. He was buried in the city of David, his father. And the scripture says, Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Now let me say this, which intrigues me about the life of Solomon. We learn from scripture that Solomon had somewhere around 1,000 wives and concubines. Can you imagine a man with all these women? Here was Solomon. Some of you fellas say, oh, that would be great. I'd love to have all those wives. Yeah, until it's Christmas and Valentine's Day, you got to buy all those gifts. But nonetheless, here is Solomon with 1,000 wives and concubines. And imagine, the scripture says he was a wise man, but he loved strange women. And you look at a man like Solomon and think, all of this gold, all of this silver. You read the book of Ecclesiastes, and you find that Solomon not only had wisdom, but he had wealth. And Solomon said, I went on a search. I had all the wine. I had the comedians. I had the women. I had the resources. I had the vineyards. I had the service. And he said, when I'd gone through all of it, he found that all of it was vanity of vanities. Soap bubbles, he said. It meant nothing. He said at the end of that writing, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. That is the conclusion of everything. Solomon had it all. But isn't it amazing? 1,000 wives, concubines, even more than that, some people say. But at the end of all of those women, he only had one son who could carry on his name. Just one. You see, sin is a horrible way to build a family. This is not the message, but you ought to amen me on it. Sin is a horrible way to build a family. And you can have all of the composites together, and you can have all of the components added in, and you can have everything laid out and dialed up that the world says that you need to build a family. But the scripture said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You don't need the world's standards to build a family. On Christ, the solid rock you stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I say to you, young men, don't build a family on the world's goods and the world's ideology. Build a family on purity and virtue and faithfulness and righteousness and holiness and truth and consistency. And God will build more than a house. He'll build a home. Here's Solomon. You got Rehoboam. And Rehoboam is headed to Shechem. Perhaps sensing that the kingdom is going to split has already been prophesied by the prophet. And so Rehoboam gathers all the people together. He's trying to meet with them, trying to make sure that all of them come together and that he has the chance to rule over all of them. They invite Jeroboam from Egypt to attend this meeting. When they meet Jeroboam, they begin reminding him of how his father had made the yoke grievous on them. The taxes were difficult, and the strain on their shoulders weighed on them more than they liked them to. So they asked, why don't you lighten the load a little bit, Rehoboam? Don't make it so hard. Don't make it so difficult. If you will be easy on us, and if you will lighten up the load a little bit, then we'll serve you, and we won't just be a divided kingdom. Everybody in Israel come together and serve you. So he consulted with the older wise men. They advised him to lighten the load. But then the Bible says, instead of listening to the wise men, I like how the Bible puts it. I want you to listen to verse number 8. It said he forsook the counsel of the old man, which they had given him. Notice how scripture put it. And consulted with the young men that were grown up with him. We put that in the 2012 vernacular. And said he ignored the old heads and listened to his boys. That's what happened. He didn't listen to anybody who had some wisdom. He didn't listen to those that had been there before. He didn't listen to those that knew what they were talking about. He didn't listen to those that had God-given discernment. He listened to those that had grown up with him, that had cut a fool with him, that had messed up with him, that had no experience with him. And they said, tighten it up. I mean, be like scorpions on these people. It's exactly what he told them. I'm not going to make it easier for you. I'm going to make it harder for you. Verse 13, he answered them roughly, forsook the old men's counsel, and told him, I will chastise you like scorpions. Now notice, when the people heard this, they begin to move over towards Jeroboam. They thought, well, we're not going to stay with Rehoboam. And if you follow the scripture, we'll not look at all of it in detail. We'll find out that they rebel against him, verse number 19, against the house of David. And here are 10 tribes that are going with Jeroboam, while 2 tribes to the south are going with Rehoboam. We are watching literally prophecy being fulfilled as the nation of Israel is becoming a divided kingdom. We find later on in this chapter, chapter 12, he was going to go and fight. 21, Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem and assembled the house of Judah and tribe of Benjamin and 144,000 men, and they were warriors. They were going to fight against Israel to bring kingdom again to Rehoboam. He was going to fight against Jeroboam and those 10 tribes and have a battle and try to unite this kingdom. And in so many words, God said, leave it alone. Don't fight with your brethren. In other words, this fight isn't going to change the course of action that has already been set in motion. And by the way, this is a result of the sins of yesteryear, and this is a result of the sins of Solomon and his failure to lead his house according to the word of God and his failure to walk according to the law of God. And now Rehoboam is trying to fix a problem that sin has already set in motion. And in so many words, he says, you've already messed up by telling these folks you're going to be harder on them, and now you're going to fight my own people to try to get this kingdom back together. Let it alone. It is what it is. So on the contrary, he built up Shechem and Ephraim, fortified these cities. I mean, beautified them, made them nice. Probably put palaces in both locations. Made them as nice as he could make them. After all, he's the king. He's got a portion of the people that are following him. This is what Jeroboam is doing. Meanwhile, Rehoboam has these southern kingdoms, these 2 southern tribes of the southern kingdom at his disposal, while Jeroboam has the 10 tribes. Now, remember, Rehoboam is of the house of David. The house of David is supposed to be where the blessing of God resides. But the kingdom is divided. Please understand what I'm saying. We've got Rehoboam, who God has told, leave it alone. Just deal with your 2 tribes and be content with it. Jeroboam, with his 10 tribes up here to the north, and his thought in his mind is, I'm really on top, but I don't want these 10 tribes to go back to the house of David and unite with the son of Solomon, Rehoboam. And the amazing thing that I get from this story is this. In order to stop something from happening that he didn't want to happen, guess what he messed with? The worship. He said, if I want to keep people following me, watch it now, I better make sure they're not following God. And so he messes with the worship. That's what I'm going to look at tonight, at least tonight. And I want to entitle this sermon or message, what I believe Jeroboam adopted as his philosophy. And I think the Jeroboam-like philosophy is still going on in churches today. It's what I call worship my way. Let me say that again. Worship my way. And by the way, the only kind of worship that pleases God is worship God's way. It's what we've been talking about. Worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Worshiping the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Worshiping the Lord with the spirit of passion. Worshiping the Lord with the spirit of purpose. Worshiping the Lord regardless of the price. Worshiping the Lord while looking up. Worshiping the Lord by getting my mind off of myself and getting my mind on him. Worshiping the Lord despite my circumstances. Worshiping the Lord when I'm down and out. Worshiping the Lord when I'm in the valley. Worshiping the Lord when I just got bad news. Worshiping the Lord when I don't feel good. Worshiping the Lord when I am confused. Worshiping the Lord when I feel out of whack. Worshiping the Lord when I'm all alone. Worshiping the Lord when I get nothing out of it. Worshiping the Lord without the spirit of manipulation. Worshiping the Lord not because of what he's done, but because of who he is. Worshiping the Lord who sits high and lifted up as master and king of kings. And Lord, that's true worship. Jeroboam said, no. In order to make sure I stay on the throne, we're going to worship my way. So I want to look at that tonight. Worship my way. Do I have this Jeroboam-like worship in me? Do I have these Jeroboam-like tendencies in me? You look at 1 Kings chapter 12 and say, this could not be talking to us because we're going to look at these calves and we're going to look at this idolatry and we're going to look at all this mess, and this could not be us because we carry our King James Bible and we live according to the laws of the Word of God, and we're not bowing down before some idol, and we're not sitting on some shrine, and we've not assembled some grove, and we're not praying to some statue, so surely this could not be. No, you've got to understand something. Unless it's all the way God's, then it's your way. Unless it's the way God dialed it up, then it's your way. Unless he's the one sitting on the throne, then it's your way. Unless the attention is on him, then it's your way. Unless you fall down in the spirit of adoration, then it's your way. Unless he's high and lifted up, then it's your way. And I'm saying to you tonight, folks, we're going to have to get ourselves and our wants and our desires and our foolishness and our self-centeredness out of the way, because when I worship my way, I lose out on what a holy God wants me to experience as I worship his way. If you're taking notes, write down. Here's how worship my way begins. With a carnal perspective. A carnal perspective. It's where we segue into his foolish decisions. In verse number 26, and Jeroboam said in his heart, watch this now. Did you see what the verse said? He said it in his heart. You're telling on yourself when you start messing up outside, because we already know you've long messed up inside. I wish somebody say amen. He said in his heart. You see, it began with a carnal perspective. He started acting out what he had long been thinking about. And you see, the wrong kind of worship always begins with a carnal perspective. Notice the senseless anxiety, if you would. Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to the sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. There's some senseless anxiety here. And by senseless anxiety, here's what I'm saying. He is stressing over stuff that he should not be worrying about. Listen. I want you to connect this here tonight. This is where worship my way begins. In my mind, I start conjuring up all of this fretting and all of this worrying and all of this contemplating and what if there might be, and I don't want this. And if this happens, this is going to in turn happen. Here's where Jeroboam is. He's saying, if I don't worship my way, the people are going to go against me and they're going to go the opposite direction. So he engages himself in senseless anxiety, which really is a pure indication of a selfish attitude. Senseless anxiety is always the result of a selfish attitude. Jeremiah, what are you worried about? I'm worried about me not being king. Looking. Here's where worship, my way, begins. When I start stressing about the fact that I may not be king. Well. If I pray like I should, and I read like I should, and I sing like I should, and I give like I should, and I go like I should, and I adore like I should, and I listen to what I should, you know what that means? I'm not in charge. Listen, worship my way always emanates from the soil of pride. I don't want to worship God's way because I like worship that keeps me on top. Listen, go to churches all over America today and you want to find out when worship goes the wrong direction? You want to turn the television on? You want to see worship my way? I'll tell you, you'll find worship my way. You'll find some preacher who's lifted himself up more than Jesus. You'll find some members that are more excited about being noticed in the service than Jesus being lifted up. You'll find folks that are more impressed about their hairdo being noticed and their outfit being spotted than they are about the holiness. Somebody say amen of Almighty God. You'll find out that worship my way always begins with a threat to my kingship, with a threat to my rule, with a threat to my jurisdiction. And can I tell you that that's when worship starts going wrong. But when worship starts going right, it's when I begin to realize I don't belong on the throne anyway. I'm not in charge anyway. I don't rule and reign anyway. I've got no jurisdiction anyway. In Him we live and breathe and have our being.
You find yourself wondering, what's wrong with my worship? I'll tell you what's wrong with you.
My way. Worship my way. If I do it right, I won't be on the throne.
Could I clue you in on something? That's the idea. By the way, could I give you a little history lesson? You know where this all began? I will be like the Most High God. I will ascend to the Most High. You know where worship my way began? It began with the choice angel Lucifer. Choice angel Lucifer. The anointed cherub. You understand? That covering was more beautiful than all the other angels. Read Ezekiel 28. Read Isaiah chapter 14. And you listen to the description that the Holy Ghost of God through the person of Isaiah and Ezekiel gives of Lucifer. Do you understand something? The devil got out of whack when he got out of place. You understand something? When he tried, listen to me. You don't have the clout. You don't have the grit. You don't have the guts. You don't have the aura. You don't have the glory to sit on the throne of God. You'll mess up. You can't handle the praise. You can't handle the adoration. You can't handle the worship. Listen to me. You are too finite. You are too unholy. You are too carnal. You are too self-sufficient. You are too self-centered, too arrogant, too conceited, too full of sin. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And when you try to put yourself in the place of God, you're biting off more than you can chew. Somebody here tonight, your worship is turned the wrong direction. Because you want more attention. Here's when worship my way starts. I better do something to save my limelight. This is, you read it. I'm not making up this message. It's right there. If I leave things right the way they are, these 10 tribes are going to leave me and go back to the house of David. You ever heard somebody or seen somebody act a fool in church? Trying to save a limelight. See, worship my way always begins with a carnal perspective. Senseless anxiety. Selfish attitude. But watch this now. I like being in charge. Worship my way. Worship my way. If I lead this thing the way God established it, watch it. Nobody's going to bow to me. Come on. If I sing the song the way it's supposed to be sung, they'll all be worshiping Jesus and not clapping for me. I wish somebody would say amen. So let me just kind of embellish a little bit. I want a little attention. So let me get the crowd on me and off of Jesus. Somebody, come on now. If I just preach the Bible, then I won't get the hoopla like the entertainers do. So let me dress it up and add to it and embellish the context. Yeah, I'm talking about and take out of context what God actually did say. Why? I'm not trying to build a church of Jesus followers. I'm trying to build a church of preacher followers. Yeah, so when you mess up, they quit following God. Listen to me. Somebody has got to get back to the point where they understand the right person on the throne has always been Jesus. Carnal perspective, secondly, corrupt practices. What? If you spend God's quality time pondering the threat of losing your kingship, it will not be long before you start acting it out. Worship my way! You ever had somebody do something out of nowhere and said to yourself, where did that come from? I mean, I never expected brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so to go off. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so been practicing inside their heart, talking to themselves a long time. I don't really like the way things are going. I see the allegiance of people leaning away from me in another direction. I used to be the hot stuff. Huh? You better be careful. You better be careful. You better be careful when you're getting jealous over stuff that's not yours. Amen. You say, what's your, I mean, nothing in the church of God is yours. It's all God's. You better be getting, I'm calling it right out. You better be careful when you're jealous about positions and promotions and solos and bulletin pictures and names called out. Yeah. You told me to say that. Remember? You better be careful when you're getting concerned about not getting enough notice and not getting your name called enough and not getting called in prayer and not getting set in the right seat and you're not the pastor's pet and somebody didn't include you in your test. The last time I checked, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. I'm fine with it all as long as Jesus is on. I feel a preaching storm coming on a Wednesday night that the world calls October 31st, but Jesus is on the throne in here. Be careful when you're feeling left out. And watch this now. You're not making decisions based on what has happened. You're making decisions based on a little vibe that you sensed about what could happen if you don't do something rather quickly. I better make a move before I lose them 10 tribes. Listen, I know I'm preaching to you. I have watched people change biblical principles because they envisioned just a hint of the possibility that they wouldn't be as hot stuff as they once were.
You're preaching, Pastor. I appreciate that comment from whoever said it. Corrupt practices. Here's where the corrupt practices start. 28. King took counsel. Erroneous counsel. Hey, y'all, I'm losing. These ten tribes going to go back to Rehoboam if I don't do something. What y'all think I should do? I want to ask you a question. Who have you been getting counsel from lately? You say, well, Pastor, I haven't gotten counsel from anybody. Well, let me describe some of the venues of counsel that aren't so instinctively labeled as such. Whose books you been reading? That's counsel. Blessed is the man that walketh under the counsel of the ungodly. Who tell him and shows you been watching? Amen. Whose Twitter you been following? Amen. Who you been friends with on Facebook lately? They're counseling you. Listen if you can't handle the Bible that comes from this pulpit, and you've got to look outside for somebody that is going to coddle your arrogance, you're involved in erroneous counsel. I'm not picking. I'm really not. I'm not chasing anything. I think it's happening. I'm preaching the scripture. Be careful. I have watched many a good church member leave a good church. And I'm not just talking about this one. I'm talking about churches all over America. Because some knucklehead said, over here, you can get more attention. I'm going to tell you how you can get it in just a few moments. Erroneous counsel. Write this down. B. Enticing convenience. Watch this. Get on smooth. He's smooth. So they told him, man, you're right. They probably will leave. So here's what you do. Get you some golden calf. Make them real pretty. Real nice. And go to the people in a loving way, Jeroboam. Here's what he said. Jerusalem is a long ways away. I mean, you know how long it's going to take you to ride up there? I mean, you got to pack food. You got to take your family. You're going to be away from home. I mean, it puts a lot of strain on your body. It makes no sense to go all the way up to Jerusalem to worship. I've got you. I'm gonna take over here in Bethel lot closer. And Dan's closer too. And instead of you going all the way up to Jerusalem, just go right over there to drive through Bethel. Uh-huh. And quickie mark Dan. And we put calves there. By the way, whenever you have to conjure and manufacture up something to worship, you are proving that it's not God. Because you don't got to make God or conjure God. God was God before you ever came. Come on now. So whenever you got to put something together, enticing convenience. It starts with persuasion. I'm warning you.
shysters out there to try to get you going to your church. I'm not trying to keep you in this church for your tithes and offerings. I'm trying to keep you in this church for your spiritual maturity. Your spiritual maturity. God can build a church. Beware lest any man spoil you with vain philosophy. That you be hence not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Paul put it like this. Ye did run well. Who is it? Am I becoming an enemy because I tell you the truth? I was standing there glad to be spent of you. The more I love, the less I be loved. First question. Second question. Watch this. Proximity. Do you know how many churches you pass on your commute here? Do you know how much you could save in gas? Do you know how much more cost efficient it would be for you and your family to live somewhere else? We got stuff there. Ain't no use in you going all the way to Crossroads, Falls Church. Come on about Bethel. And if Bethel ain't in your way, we got them. Watch this now. Pull up there. Golden Calf. Be careful when you're going to a church for a building. Be careful when you're going to church for programs. I'm going there. They got more programs. But is your heart getting better? Well, no, but we got more programs. You can, listen, do you realize you can graduate from a program and go to hell? Oh, well, you say, no, I can't. And I'm saying you can graduate from a program and get to heaven as by fire. Be careful when man-made luster is what draws you in. Boy, they get down in there. I'm telling you, they'd be cranky. I'm feeling it in there. You're right. You feeling it all right. The devil had you feeling all kind of stuff. It's close. And by the way, there's all kind of application we can take out here. Y'all already know we're going to be back here next week because I know you inconspicuously. I see some of y'all glance and say, watch this. Trying to act like you're looking down at your notes. You ain't looking at your notes. You men got to roll your sleeve back to look at it, trying to be act like you putting your arm around your wife. 8:28. Oh, we still got to clear the platform for the care of them wedding. Well, you better hurry up. Listen, we're going in next week. And so I'm not going to try to get through all of this tonight. But you know what? This is how worship my way goes. I mean, do we really want to just, I mean, do we really have to study and read the King James? I mean, goodness, all shouldest and couldest and wouldest and dididest and thou and saidest and Lord have mercy. I mean, they got versions out there. But they even got y'all, listen, they even got y'all an African American version. It's out there. I mean, they talk down to you, you know what I'm saying? Then Jeroboam said, man, these people getting on my nerves, man. They tripping about going all the way to Jerusalem, man. I got the hookup in Bethel and Dan. Holly, if you hear me. They have one. They've got versions. Let me tell you something. If there wasn't a dollar to be made, there wouldn't be virgins being manufactured. Do I really have no wins in life? Do I really have come Sunday school? Do I really, I mean that Old Testament tithe and stuff. Yeah, some of you was fine when I was on them idols. Now I have shown you how the Jeroboam syndrome can be even amidst your holy self. I mean, do we really have to pray and, I mean, fasting? I mean, is that really in the Bible? Can't God hear me and while I'm eating? I mean, what's so bad about trick-or-treat? Huh? Just a little costume, a little bit of candy. Or my little kids, just little weird little kids, don't have nothing. It's too much to put all this on. Hey, let me tell you something. Things were working fine when everything went on in Jerusalem. Leave it alone before you go tearing down a fence. You might want to look up the plans and find out why it was put up in the first place. We moved out the ancient landmark. Buy the truth and sell it up. Ask for the old paths. Walk therein. Amen. Proximity and persuasion, painlessness. I'll have to close it. Painlessness. We don't want y'all. We don't want worship to inconvenience you. You know what I'm saying? If you like to sing, sing. I mean, do we have to practice for how now? What's the big deal? Let's just get up there and let the Holy Ghost do it. Really? We've seen what happens when that happens. And Pastor Mike said in one of his plays, ain't the Holy Ghost a Holy Ghost, huh? And I'm telling you what, you know good and well you battle with it. I have to go, I have to read. This is crazy. Faith, promise. Get something. Another offering. You come up with a better way for God to keep his program going than what he prescribed by financial giving by his people. By the way, with his blessing of multiplication added to it. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men pour to you. Yeah. Bring you all the time to the storehouse, see what I will not open up. Prove me now therewith. See what I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you may not be able to have room enough to receive. You say, I'll tell you what, Pastor. I got room to receive what God's given me. It ain't much. Perhaps he's not giving you much because you've not given him much. He was so sparingly shall reap sparingly. He was so bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him live. Not grudging of necessity, for the Lord loves to finish it now, baby. Give him something to work with. Worship now. I don't want it to hurt me. I don't want it to cost me. I don't want it to inconvenience me. That's why electronic TV, internet TV, Skype TV, satellite TV, you can get everything you need from God without even getting out the door. That's where we are today. Just sit up and click on it. And you don't have to have TV. Get on the computer. I still think it's good for it to cost us to do things the right way. Now, next week, I'll talk to you a little bit more about that. When you get the Jeroboam syndrome, not only do you get to do things without working hard at it, in the Jeroboam style worship, you can live how you want to live and still have a position. Dress right. Dress how you want to dress. You go where you want to go, party, cut a food. You could be a priest at Bethlehem Dance. That's why a lot of people like them kind of churches. They can roll out the club and into the choir. Not in here. They well, you don't know. That's all right. God knows. How we know if they were in the club? You'll find them laying somewhere. Here. What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Playing with God. Be careful. And you're trying to worship.